For 21st century Christians, the reality of the bodily resurrection of Jesus can be challenging. We can accept, I think, with joy that death is not the end, that after our bodies die, life continues. And so it seems plausible that the disciples on that first Easter day had some experience of the presence of Jesus, that Jesus was in some way still with them. But to accept, let alone understand, the actual physical human body of Jesus being raised from the dead and present to them, that body that suffered the agony of the cross, that experienced death, is certainly difficult for us to comprehend. For some, it is even an impediment to belief. It is so difficult to accept. And yet, from the very beginning, the church has held that Jesus was raised from the dead in his human body, that his flesh and blood died and passed through the gate of death, coming out the other side into resurrection life. If it's any comfort, the first followers and believers also struggled with this reality. There's a way I think it goes against everything that we experience. It defies our understanding of how the world is, of what it is to be human. And yet in our gospel today, Luke takes great pains to make clear that it is Jesus in his flesh, risen from the dead. That resurrection means that he rises in the same body in which he lived and died. And so we have that poignant scene of the disciples gripped by terror, and they are startled by the risen Jesus. He appears in their midst, and not surprisingly, they're not sure what to make of this. Now, this comes after several of them have already seen the risen Jesus, after he appeared to the women, to Peter. This is after two of them are walking on the road to Emmaus. It happens just before these verses. And on that road, Jesus appears to them, and then they know him in the breaking of the bread. But in those experiences, they do not understand and they do not yet believe or comprehend that Jesus is risen. And so when Jesus comes into their midst, they worry that he is a ghost or a spirit. But Jesus assures them he is very much in his body, in his flesh. He invites them to touch him, for a ghost doesn't have flesh and bone. He invites them to see his wounds. This is the same body that was tortured and crucified. And then he asks them if they have anything to eat. And he eats broiled fish in their midst, something a spirit can't do. Luke is telling us that Jesus is that same Jesus who died. That is now the Jesus appearing to his followers. That Jesus has taken human death through human flesh, through the experience of death to eternal life. It reminds us that in taking up flesh in the incarnation, in God coming among us in the person of Jesus, that God affirms the goodness of humanity. And then in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, God raises our humanity to the divine life. God sets us free once and for all from the tyranny of sin and death. God sets us free once and for all from all that alienates and separates us from God. And so Jesus comes into the midst of the disciples in their hiding and in their terror and offers them peace and gives them what they need most to believe and to allow themselves to be transformed. It's interesting in this story that Jesus doesn't come among them and say, "Look, how many times do I have to appear to you? Why don't you understand?" He doesn't do that. He does not criticize them for being terrified. Instead, he comes among them, accepting them where they are, and then giving them what they need to move, to leave behind that hiding, to let go of their fear, to no longer be paralyzed by their terror. And so Jesus comes into their midst, giving them what they need in order that he may lead them beyond where they currently are, that he can lead them into new life, into resurrection life. As the disciples come to believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, they start to become joyful, we hear in our gospel. But Jesus moves them even more. and he opens their minds to the scriptures. Jesus expands their understanding of who he is, of his mission, of the meaning of his death and his resurrection. And Jesus sets them on a process of transformation, a transformation that changes them and also changes the world forever. Jesus commissions them to be his witnesses. He sends them out into the world to preach and to teach and to heal, to be the very presence of Jesus in the world. We see this in our lesson today from the Acts of the Apostles. We have dropped into the middle of a much longer narrative, and we hear just a portion of that story. We hear Peter preaching about what has happened. The whole story is that Peter and John have left behind their fear. They're now out in the world. They're not hiding. And they're going up to the temple. And on the way, they meet a man who has been lame from birth, and he's begging for money. And he asks Peter and John to give him some money. And I love what Peter says. He says, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And the man does. The man is able to walk, and he leaps about praising God. And not surprisingly, the people around are amazed. Through the power of the resurrection, those first followers of Jesus are set free to go into the world, and they no longer act from fear. It is not that they don't fear. They still fear things that we humans fear, but they do not allow that fear to prevent them from witnessing to Jesus. They won't be stopped in the work that Jesus has given them to do. So the story continues that after they heal the lame man, the authorities become annoyed by their preaching, by the healing, by the attention that they are attracting in the crowd. And so they imprison Peter and John. And they talk about what to do, and they realize if they persecute them further, they will just empower them and get more attention for them. So they decide to release them. But before they do, they order them not to preach Jesus anymore. But Peter replies that they cannot keep from speaking what they have seen and heard. No matter what the authorities may do to them, they will not be stopped. They have to continue preaching. They need to do the work that Jesus has given them to do. And most of them will witness by giving their lives, being killed as Jesus was, being martyrs, the ultimate witness to the faith. These two lessons today, I think, offer us important teaching on what the resurrection of Jesus means for us today. And the first is that Jesus, in being raised in his human body, that body in which he lived and died, in so being raised, Jesus brings humanity, brings us all through that experience of death into eternal life. That Jesus forever, in his resurrection, transforms human existence. His glorified body bears the scars of his passion, and that offers us hope in our sufferings, for it assures us that Jesus knows what it is to experience pain in a human body, that Jesus is present with us in our sufferings, and that God will not leave us in our suffering, but will in fact deliver us. I know from hearing people talk that those who are oppressed find that this reality offers deep and profound hope and strength. That people who know physical violence, that very fact that Jesus has walked the way that they walk offers hope and strength for them. It provides the promise that the horrors of this life can be endured, and that the promise is God's grace will bring new life to follow, life free from suffering, from oppression and evil. The second fact, I think, is that the resurrection of Jesus calls us to be transformed. Jesus is leading us into a new life, that we might be a new creation, to be a people set free from enslavement to sin and death, that we come to know the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, so that we can be set free to act from love, to not live by fear and despair and hate, but to live by love and hope and reconciliation. The resurrection of Jesus allows us to assert in the face of the evil powers of this world that God triumphs, that God's love is stronger than the powers of this age, stronger even than death itself. And the third is that we are sent forth. Like those first apostles, we are sent forth to be witnesses to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We are as much sent forth as they are. And so Jesus opens our hearts and our minds to God's action and call. Jesus sends us forth to proclaim to the world the power of God's love. Jesus sends us forth to preach to those who live in places of despair, to bring hope, to go to those who live at the margins, who have lost all hope and are suffering, to go to those who are forgotten by those in power, and to offer that promise of God, that comfort of God's liberating love. Now, I wonder if this last may be challenging for us. We Episcopalians can be a rather reserved lot. We may not want to think of ourselves as being witnesses and going out to preach and to proclaim Jesus crucified and resurrected. And yet we are sent forth as much as those first followers are in today's gospel. Luke writes those words as much for us as he does for that first century community around him. We are called to take that good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And God is counting on us to do this, that God's reign may be ushered in, that the powers of this world may be subdued and transformed. The risen Jesus comes to us just where we are, offering us God's peace and giving us exactly what we need to move beyond our fear, to be set free from our places of hiding. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, may we take the amazing news of Jesus' resurrection into the world, that everyone may, through our witness and through the witness of all the followers of Jesus, know that abundant life that God offers, eternal life, that God desires to share with everyone. Amen.